Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. In recent weeks on the programme, we've looked to the United States and focused on how the presidential election reshapes the investment landscape, whether it's the role of trade in the discourse or the impact of the whole electoral cycle on investors and investments. This week, we're asking a slightly more specific question about the race for the White House. If, in November, Donald Trump wins the election, what does that mean for markets? We'll speak to experts in the US and get a global view, too. We'll consider the age-old strategic challenge of pricing in political risk. And we'll ask whether the right balance is struck between assessing traditional economic indicators and weighing the understandable, if unedifying, impact of the personalities in this extraordinary race. We start with Dirk Effenberger, who heads the Cross-Regional Investment Office at the UBS CIO Wealth Management in Zurich. Could he summarise the key global investment implications of a Trump victory?
I think the UK referendum actually is a good reference point. I think initially the effect of a Trump victory would probably resemble that of the UK leave vote. So, for example, gold would likely rise and capital could flow out of the US dollar and into safe havens such as the Swiss franc. Long-term, I think the impact will be more visible in the performance between equity sectors rather than the overall global equity markets. The latter should be more driven by macroeconomic policy or central bank policy rather than the US election outcome.
Brian Rose, US economist at UBS, explains that a Trump presidency could prompt considerable nervousness, especially if it was looking like a Clinton win, only for Trump to triumph at the last.
The main thing that Trump would bring is uncertainty. So even if you're talking about the difference between the Republican and Democratic president, they're still politicians. They're still going to be pretty conventional. Trump isn't a politician, with no experience in government, very different perspective, and he would just bring great uncertainty. No one would know what would actually happen under a Trump presidency. So we'd likely see markets getting very nervous, especially under a scenario where it looks like Clinton is going to win going into the election. So polling indicates that Clinton has a lead, and then we hold the election. The next day, it turns out that Trump won. And in that kind of scenario, I think markets would be very, very nervous because markets generally don't like uncertainty, and that's what Trump would bring.
David Lefkowitz, US equity strategist for UBS, sees an increase in policy uncertainty as the key impact of a Trump success.
If Trump does win, I do think that the market will begin to anticipate that probability will begin to increase before the election. So you'll probably see some of these movements in markets before the actual result, but obviously we won't know with certainty until the numbers come in. So, I mean, I think the biggest takeaway from a Trump victory would be an increase in policy uncertainty, just because there probably will be some changes on the policy side, and I think that could lead to a little bit of some nervousness, especially in some of the risk assets within financial markets.
To Bloomberg's Ewan Potts next. At the moment, the polls are close. The first debate is done. But let's look ahead. What would a Trump win mean for markets? How does Ewan price in that sort of outcome?
We got a small but useful taste after the recent presidential debate. There was disagreement on social media and among the pollsters as to who did better in the debate. But the financial markets judged it a win for Clinton. And that morning after, we saw that safe haven assets like the Japanese yen fell and riskier currencies rose. It was also seen as positive for Mexico's economy with a big jump in the peso. So that was an interesting early indication, but of course it was only one small indication.
Ken Rogoff, the former chief economist at the International Monetary Fund, spoke to Monocle's The Global Election programme. What strikes Ken Rogoff in terms of the international economic impact of a Trump victory?
Well, the simple and obvious one, and it isn't even the worst, is he's very much in favor of protectionism. And I think that would be a huge step back for the world, for U.S. leadership. It might benefit a few pockets of his supporters, but I think it's a very dangerous trend. I don't know what our economic policy is. I don't know what our foreign policy is going to be. He says he's going to make great deals, and I don't think that's a way to approach a world leadership position. So I'm concerned about the seeming erratic nature of decision making. I don't know who his advisors are. I hope for the best if he wins, of course, but I think the rest of the world is probably justifiably more nervous about that.
Pim Fox is the anchor of Taking Stock on Bloomberg Radio and Television. We put it to Pim. We wake on 9th of November to a Trump victory. What happens to the markets?
Right now, what do we know? We know that when the polls show that Hillary Clinton is leading, stocks tend to increase in value and also foreign currencies tend to increase in value. In other words, the dollar weakens. So, for example, the Mexican peso, which earlier in the month hit a record low against the U.S. dollar, rebounded following the first presidential debate between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I think you can expect a lot of things on the international trade front, given that Donald Trump has voiced his very vocal opposition not only to the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership, but also his effort and his desire to repeal NAFTA. That, of course, would have a very negative effect on trade with Canada and with Mexico. Also, if he is going to embark on any trade war with China, that has got to worry importers of Chinese-made products. It's going to make them more expensive, and it could start a tariff retaliation regime. Also, if you happen to be an automobile maker that has an automobile plant across the border in Mexico, you also have to wonder exactly how he may translate some of his campaign rhetoric into actual legislation. Now, be mindful that whoever is president, they're still going to probably have to deal with a Republican House of Representatives. There is a good chance that the Democrats will retake the Senate, but I don't think anybody really believes they're going to be able to muster the necessary 67 votes in order to break a presidential veto. So on the one hand, there's a lot of rhetoric about what both candidates are going to do, but in truth, they need the help of Congress in order to do anything.
Pricing in political risk then remains one of the most pertinent challenges that we face. What, if anything, has this campaign taught us or reminded us about this? Dirk Effenberger, again.
Considering political risk is very important. There are different types of political risk we have to consider. There are the so-called known unknowns, which are, for example, election dates or referendum dates, such as in the UK, where we see short-term market drawdowns in the case of a surprise outcome. But then we also have, especially in emerging markets, different type of political risk, which is more unknown, where we have sudden events happening, for example, the finance minister of Mexico stepping back and these kind of things, which more come as a surprise to markets. So I think investors are more and more aware of political risk and start to price it in a more consistent way going forward.
Brian Rose, too, talks about the challenge of pricing in political risk in the context of a Trump rise.
It has been very interesting. For example, what we saw during the debate, we saw the Mexican peso, the market moving actually during the debate, not even waiting for results or polling or anything else. But as the debate was going on, markets perceived that Trump wasn't doing well, and we saw the Mexican peso rally on expectations that, okay, Clinton will probably win or has a better chance of winning now, so we don't have to be as nervous about Mexican peso. And I think we saw maybe similar things during the Brexit vote, where markets started to feel more certain that the Remain vote was going to win, and markets are moving right ahead of the event. So it's been an interesting experience, and you can see how markets are adjusting in real time to the perceptions. And as we learned during the Brexit vote, sometimes those perceptions turn out to be wrong.
Uncertainty, as ever, is a problem, and we know that it's something that markets, well, they just don't like. David Lefkowitz, again.
Whenever you do have changes in the political environment, it certainly does raise the question of how do investors position themselves when we don't know some of the rules of the road. Now, I think it's important to underscore here that this may not be a long-lasting negative. I think it's if we get more clarity around some of the key issues, it could end up being a positive. I do think that a Trump presidency would look to reform the tax code and probably make some tax cuts. That's the good news. The bad news is that's probably going to mean larger budget deficits, and we're still going to probably have a lot of uncertainty around trade, foreign policy, and maybe even Fed leadership. So there are definitely some puts and takes, but there could be some positives offset by some of the negatives.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at traditional economic indicators and ask whether enough heed is paid to them amidst all the white noise of the election race. So, despite the obvious and understandable excitement of the US election race, do traditional economic indicators still matter? David Lefkowitz is unequivocal.
At the end of the day, the stock market and financial markets more broadly are really going to respond to trends in underlying economic fundamentals, and for stocks, that really comes down to corporate profits. And I don't think we're talking about a significant change in the outlook for corporate profits really under either scenario, with the caveat that a Trump victory means that there's probably a little bit more uncertainty around the trajectory of corporate profits, but still not likely a huge deviation from what we're experiencing right now.
Bloomberg's Pim Fox, too, expands on the theme of the role that traditional indicators play.
A president has a lot of power. He or she can use the power of the office to stir people's passions, to garner support, to provoke opposition. I mean, you know, there's a well and storied history of people using their charisma to do so. On the other hand, you're not going to get anything done unless you get it passed by the Congress. The president does not have the power to just go out unilaterally and spend the taxpayers' money. As a result, I think that most people are smart enough now to know that what we have in Washington may be something that is more severe than just this real contrast in personalities and policy among Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. But we have a very extremist positions for both parties that is really preventing the kind of compromise that's necessary to pass things like an infrastructure bill, to pass things like any kind of reform to military procurement and military operations. I mean, the list goes on and on, but without that consensus and without someone at the top to maybe build that consensus, it seems even further out of reach. So I think yes and yes, people are concerned, but they may even be more concerned with the gridlock that exists than who's actually going to be president.
We asked Dirk Effenberger about this too. To try and understand a Trump presidency, should we look to history? Should we look for precedents? Or is it better to stick to the fundamentals?
I personally think that history might be a bad guide for the forthcoming election outcome. History tells us that the performance of equity markets in election years is pretty much the same as in any other year on average. I think this election outcome is very different in many respects. So what we look at is at the policy agenda of the two candidates. And what we see here, for example, is that in the Trump case, we will likely see a more fierce of increased protectionism, which could hurt equity markets or sectors with a high sales exposure to the U.S., like the Eurozone consumer discretionary sector. And I think, for example, the German car sector is particularly exposed with its high sales exposure to the U.S. So that's more the way we look at the impact of the Trump victory on asset classes.
Finally on the programme, let's hear from some of our panellists on the key takeaways this week. There are certainly some important points to underscore, stresses David Lefkowitz.
What really matters the most is the overall trends in economic activity and corporate profits. And again, I think it's important to underscore that we're not expecting a very substantial change in those trends under either scenario. What we're really talking about here is more of a sentiment swings that could accompany a Trump victory. And those can be very short-lived. So I think we have to keep that in mind. And they can be very volatile also. So not getting whipsawed by the day-to-day noise is very important here.
What are the key economic knock-on effects of a potentially protectionist, certainly unpredictable President Trump in Ken Rogoff's view?
Well, I think it's the unpredictability that concerns me more. It could be that just narrowly in terms of U.S. economic growth, it is possible that the Trump in the short run would be better. I mean, Clinton has a lot of increases in tax policy, redistribution, which is all very healthy for social welfare, but on the other hand, could well slow growth. There's been a big growth in regulation under President Obama, who I think has been a great president, by the way, but that's certainly a concern. So I'm not saying necessarily the American economy will do worse, but it'll become a more unpredictable partner in the world, I think, under a Trump presidency. You don't know what's coming. You don't know what's next. And it's a little bit scary to have the leader of the free world be someone who's so unpredictable.
And finally, to Brian Rose. We asked Brian, has this campaign shown a growing gulf between people's perception and the reality? Indeed, do perceptions dominate even in the face of the data?
Especially when you're talking about Trump, because of some of the very unusual things that he says that have nothing to do with practical policy. So during the debate, bringing up the actress Rosie O'Donnell, for example, this is just a very strange thing to come up in a political debate. And again, if you look more at the policy, just focus purely as if it was any other politician talking about the same policy proposals, I think people would feel a lot calmer about it. Because again, they, for the most part, they are pretty conventional. What makes Trump so unconventional is bringing in these outside factors, things that politicians normally would not even consider talking about. He's talking about them, and I think this is what makes people more nervous.
And that's Brian Rose bringing us to the end of this 104th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes, SoundCloud or your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.